We've spoken in the past about the Haftorah of Parshas Matos as an introduction to the 3 weeks. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, Vayihi Dvar Hashem Elai Lemar, Mo Ata Roe Yirmiyahu Va'omar, Makel Shaked Ani Roeh. And Hashem says that this word Shakel, this Makel Shakel, Shaked, is indicative, Ki Shaked Ani Al Dvar La Soso. In other words, Memaira ni la soso. And Rashi points out in his commentary on this pasuk in Yirmiyahu that Hashaked Hazeh, that this word Shaked, which means also an almond tree, is unique. Memaira lahotzi perach kodem l'chol ha'ilonos. And this is based on a Medrash Agada, which says that from the time of its chanata until the time of bishul for the shaked is a period of 21 days. And that's the magic number that connects Yud Zayin Tammuz, the day in which the city, the siege around the city was broken and they broke into the city, to Tisha B'Av, which is the day in which the bayis was Nechrav. Now, we've spoken about the fact that Klal Yisrael, through the generations, was very careful about maintaining this cheshbon, this number 21. And Rav Soloveitchik used to say that the Ruach HaKodesh teaches us that we should always have the chashivus of the Migdash on our hearts. And just as they had it at the time of the Churban, they maybe weren't exactly aware of which day of the month it was, but they knew there was a Kabbalah from Yirmiyahu HaNavi with regard to the Migdash, and they never forgot it, that there would be a 21 period of time between the Bekia Sa'ir, when the enemy penetrated into the city, until the Churban HaBayis. And that's symbolized by the Shaked here in the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu. The Marsha in Masechta Bechoros on Daf Membeis has something to say over here. And if you take a look at some of the sources here that are collected by Rav Daniel Glatstein, and amongst them he has a very serious presentation here from the Pritzadik, Rav Tzadik HaKohen, from the Bnei Yisoschar, and especially from the Shvilei Pinchas. These are some of the sources that we'd like to look at today as an introduction to the 3 week period. Again, we're already heavy into the 3 weeks, but the Bein HaMetzarim is one entity, and we want to understand and appreciate some of the features and the aspects that weren't necessarily emphasized in the past. Marsha in Bechoros has a parallel between the 21 days beginning with Rosh Hashanah, ending with Hoshana Rabbah, which are days of libun, he calls it, of cleaning out the averos, of achieving kapara. So too, in a mirror image, parallel way, we have the 21 days of Peronios, from Yuzayin B'Tammuz until Tes B'Av. And these are also days that are produced by libun avonos, by the cleansing of our sins, the tzaros, the surin. All this is mechaper. And that's the magic number 21. 21 is a number that represents the period of tahara, of libun, of tshuva and kapara, whether it be through a tedious process of tshuva, whether it be through a process of yisurin mechaper, but that kapara process stretches over a period of 21 days. And Bein HaMetzarim, 21 days from Shivas B'Tammuz till Tisha B'Av, there is a minhag that was brought down in various sfarim that during these 3 weeks in the afternoon, a Baal Nefesh should sit in Avelus, and he should grieve and mourn after the first half of the day and the second half of the day, and cry a Bechiya Shel Mamish Al Churban Abayis. But we see clearly from all the Makoros, whether it be Rashi that we saw in Yirmiyahu Hanavi, and the Marshon Bechoros, and this minog of 21 days, the number is 21. Now, truth be told, if you count from the 17th of Tammuz until the 9th of Av, you'll come up with 22 days. Because from Yud Zayin B'Tammuz until the end of Tammuz, we have 13 days. And from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, we have another 9 days. So 9 and 13 is 22. Because, again, we have Chodesh Tammuz until the end of the month, because Tammuz is a chaser, that's 29 days. So from the 17th to the 29th, we have 13. If you count each day, starting with Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. And what we want to investigate here is if in all the Makoros, the number of days that form Bein HaMetzarim is 21, and of course we saw in the Marsha that the significance of 21 is that parallels the 21 days of Kaparas Avon from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and as Rashi has the 21 days that it takes an almond tree to reach from its Chanota until Gmar Bishul, then the 21 seems to be quite significant, and yet unless we drop the Tisha B'Av, we were left for 22 days. So from Yud Zayin B'Tammuz till the end of Tammuz is 13. From the beginning of Av until the 9th of Av is 9. Is 9 and 13 is 22. Hence, we haven't really arrived at that magic number, that secret number 21. And the Bnei Yisaskar is the one who quotes the Arizal, and he goes back to the kavana that we should have for Birchas Avos. In other words, the first blessing of Shmon Esrei has a kavana, but it changes, says the Arizal, when it comes to Bein HaMetzarim, which is a fascinating idea that maybe we should have a different kavana during Bein HaMetzarim. Now again, the kavana of the Arizal, as everyone knows, is something way above and out of the stretch, out of the reach of our kavanos. You know, our kavanos are more simple, straight kavanos to understand the words and their meaning. He's talking about a different kind of kavana where we have in mind some of the holy higher worlds. But in any event, there's one thing that we can take out of this presentation of the Arizal, that of course the third word in Baruch Atah Hashem is the name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, otherwise known as Havaya. And if you take the letters of Havaya and you have a different kind of kavana, in other words, again, we're talking about high level kavanas that are beyond our reach, that penetrate into the world of the metaphysics of Kabbalah, then the Yud, and then the He, and then the Vav, and then the He, you have a Kavana now, instead of for those four letters, which again apply the whole year round. Here, during the Bein HaMetzarim period, we have a Kavana for Chiluf. Now, what that word Chiluf means in this context, and this is developed by the Ari in his Pri Eitz Chaim, is the what's called the Osios HaKodmos. In other words, what you do in each case of the letters, you identify the letter of the alphabet that would come right before that letter. So, for example, in the case of Yud Kei Vav Kei, what you have is Tes, which comes before the Yud, and then the Dalid, which becomes before the He, and then a He before the Vav, and then a Dalid before the He. So we have Tuf, Dalid, Hey, Dalid. Now if you take a look at the four letters that the Arizal's Kavana is for the Shem during the period of Bein HaMetzarim, you split those four letters into two groups, two units of two letters. You have Tes Dalet and then Hey Dalet. Tes Dalet equals 13, and Hey Dalet equals 9. And that's going to give you the Bein HaMetzarim period, because the Tes Dalet is the 12 days of Tammuz, beginning with Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, which is the day of the Tainus, until the end of the month of Tammuz. So that's indicated by the Tes Dalet, which equals 13. Then you have the other two letters, which we said are Hey and Dalet, which equal 9, and they allude to the 9 days from Rosh Chodesh Av until the fast of Tisha B'Av. And these are days of Hester. And ultimately, we wait until and we long for the day in which that Hester Panim becomes days of Gilui Shechina, days of Rachmanus of Hashem Yisparach, and those should come about very quickly, hopefully in our days. What we saw in the last few days, I mean Friday night specifically, the tragedy, this is a pigua, this is a situation not of Gilui Kvodo, but rather of Hester Panim. But we're hoping that Emir Tzashem very quickly will be Zocha soon to days of Rachmanis from Hashem, divine compassion. So that during the days of Bein HaMetzarim, we're suffering from our sins with days of Hester Panim, where Hashem cannot be seen, we cannot perceive the divinity. And in order to express that these days are days of Hester Panim, which is not the natural, normal way it should be, we have a kavana in the Shem Hashem to make the Shem Hashem into Hester. Instead of the Yud Kei Vav Kei kavana, we have this Chilufei Osios, where the actual true letters of God's name are hidden, and that's called Hastara, because that's reflection of the days of Bein HaMetzarim, as days of Hester Panim. And we have Chilufei Osios, we switch the letters until we're hoping that eventually it'll go back to the Yud Kei Vav Kei, when Hashem has Rachmim Rabim al Klal Yisrael. And the Ari says al Pi Kabbalah, there are Yud Gimel Tikkunim, which is called Arif. There are another Yud Gimel Tikkunim, which is called Zeir Anpin, or something metaphysical. We don't know exactly what these Tikkunim are, but they break into two groups, one of 13, the other of 9. And unfortunately, as a result of the Shlichus HaMeraglim, you remember on Tisha B'Av, there was a Bechiel Adoros, a Bechiel Echinom. That's what happens on Tisha B'Av. So we have a lot of Tikkunim here through the Kavanas of the Arizal, but one thing we see very clearly is that the Arizal, as opposed to the Makoros that we began with today, is operating with the number 22, because he's adding 13 and 9, the Tes Dalet to the Hey Dalet, 13 to 9, and 13 plus 9 is 22. So again, we have a strange situation here, where all the Makoros indicate the 21-day period of Bein HaMetzarim, and yet paradoxically, these 21 days, if you count from Yud Zayin until Tisha B'Av, really form a unit of 22 days, and we see that 22 days, which is a combination of 13 plus 9, 13 of Tammuz and 9 of Av, they are reflected in the kavanah that one has to have for the Shem Hashem during the Bein HaMetzarim, according to the Arizal. And again, even though we don't implement this, but we should see clearly that it's black on white that the Arizal is operating with a different number. He's not operating with the number 21, but rather with the number 22. And in truth, he's right 100%. He doesn't need Araskama, because if you count the days from Bekiyas Ha'ir till Churban HaBayis, from Yud Zayin B'Tammuz until Tes B'Av, you'll come up with the number 22. And this, despite all the sources that we saw about the shaked and how long it takes for it to develop into a bud, and we saw in the Marsha the 21 days that parallel the 21 days from Rosh Hashanah to Hoshana Rabbah, and of course the minug that's brought down here that we should be noeg avelus in the afternoon for those 21 days. Again, we're always coming back to the number 21. This, despite the fact that according to the Arizal, no doubt the number here should be 22, and it's exactly the number if you take a calendar and you count the days from the 17th of Tammuz until the 9th of Av, and you'll come up with the number 22. So this is the initial paradox that we would like to address. And as we mentioned at the start, there is a Sefer Shvilei Pinchas, and he would like to exclude Tisha B'Av from the count in order to reduce the count from 22 to 21. But of course, you might ask, why would we even entertain the idea of excluding Tisha B'Av when Tisha B'Av was such a day of calamities that more than any other day, perhaps, we should certainly put Tisha B'Av up front at the head of the pack as far as Bein HaMetzarim, as far as this Avelus period is concerned. Why leave Tisha B'Av out in order to just arrive at the number 21? And perhaps this could be explained in the light of the Pasuk in Eicha in the first chapter that says, Kara Alai Moed, which is a reference to Tisha B'Av. And by the way, the fact that Eicha, the Navi, compares Tisha B'Av to a Moed is not just some sort of optimistic belief in the future and in the end of days, which is certainly true, but it does express itself even halacha l'maisa today. Because Shulchan Aruch paskins in Tov Kuf Nun Tes, Ein Omrim Tachnun, V'lo Slichos, B'Tisha B'Av, V'Ein Noflim Al Pneim. Very odd. You would think if there's any day of the year where we should be Noflim Al Pneim, it certainly would be Tisha B'Av. No, there's no Nefilas Al Pneim on Tisha B'Av. And all this is explained by three words, Mishum de Mikri Moed, because the Megillas Eicha calls Tisha B'Av a Moed, and that was based, of course, as we said on the Poskin Eicha, Kara Alai Moed, Tisha B'Av is called a Moed, and as a result, we don't want to incorporate Tisha B'Av into the counting of the Bein HaMetzarim because it's a Moed, it's a day of Simcha, and therefore the days of Avelus number 21, not beyond. So all the sources that we brought, starting from Rashi and the Marsha and onwards, that the Bein HaMetzarim is a period of 21 days, it's right, but it's not right. It's right because we're not going to count Tisha B'Av, and therefore the magic number here is certainly 21. But again, keep in mind that the Arizal and his Kavanos is operating with the number 22, and we have to understand what's going on over here, whether it's 21 because we're going to leave out Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av is called a Moed, there's no Nefil Sapayim on Tisha B'Av, or are we going to stick to the guns and deal with the number 22, because actually the 22nd day, which is from the Bekiah Seir, from the Yud Zayin Tammuz fast, is Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av is the day of calamity. Why would we exclude that and call it a Moed? If it is a Moed, why not postpone its celebration a little bit longer and a little down the line? So as I mentioned before, the Shvilei Pinchas is trying to figure out this symbolism of the shaked, which is 21 days. What does that mean? And he's inclined to think that the 22nd day, which parallels Tisha B'Av, is not a day of Avelus in the full sense. After all, we don't say Tachnun, and this is all because it's a Moed. So when we're counting the numbers that bridge Bein HaMetzarim from its beginning to its end, we want to keep perhaps keep Tisha B'Av out of the county because it's a moed, and that's a halachic concept. Ain noflin al pneim mishum de mikre moed. So the Yemei Pinchas wants to suggest the following: that the concept of moed with regard to Tisha B'Av is a very strange concept, and the answer to that riddle of Kirolai Moed on Tisha B'Av might be the following: that everything that exists in nature had to be created in a way that it would go through a process of kilkul, and then when that kilkul is complete, then it becomes a day of Moed in the full sense. Now, what happens over here? The way God created the world, there's a kilkul, as we said before. What does this mean? Let's give a few examples. When you put a seed into the ground, the seed actually rots before it produces. And if you take a fertilized egg, you will see that in its initial form, it's got a kilkul to it, and from that kilkul will be born an afrach, a little bird. So just like in the case of tfuah, when you plant tfuah, the zera first rots in the ground, and yet what you end up later on is something beautiful that grows. So too, in the case of an afrach, of a bird, it starts with kilkul, that's stage number one, and then it ends up with an afrach, a viable being. And this is the pattern that repeats itself over and over again throughout creation. This is what we call Poshe Tzura V'Lovesh Tzura. Now, here too, with regard to Churban HaBayis, what we have is a Helem Gadol. This is a day in which, if we want to call it Kilkul, what's written in Denmark about this day is that the day of Churban, of destruction continuously, but yet at the same time, it's the day on which Mashiach was born, and there is an Oro Shel Mashiach, and although that Oro Shel Mashiach in this present time, before the end of days, is not visible, we cannot see it, but nevertheless, we know it's there. So again, we cannot reveal the R that has to wait for Mashiach, but what we can do is understand that everything that has a kilkul, that's only a diving board, you know, a projectile to a day of moed. So we start with the kilkul, and then we get a full-fledged, beautiful produce at the end. Now, if we want to embellish this a little further, what we could say is the following: that Churban HaBayis, as an act of kilkul, is a necessary precursor of Oro Shel Mashiach. In other words, first is kilkul, and you put out the light, so to speak, it becomes dark, and then it's replaced by light, and that's the R of Mashiach. So we start with the darkness of Churban until we reach the bright light of Mashiach. And that bright light of Mashiach comes from the darkness which resulted from Churban HaBayis. And if that be the case, it's very possible that the Or Shel Mashiach was created even before the world was created. Which means even before the kilkul process, which would have a catastrophic impact on Tisha B'Av, but even before that element of Tisha B'Av, we already have an Or Shel Mashiach that was created before the world, Fardenwelt. And that Or Shel Mashiach is called Moed, which illuminates Tisha B'Av. So it's really interesting. Tisha B'Av, in its original perfect form, its ideal state, was a day of Or Shel Mashiach. It's pure light, pristine and perfect light. However, it goes through another stage of Churban, and that's called Kilkul, but the Kilkul itself, as we've seen as a pattern in creation over and over again, is only a precursor of the final perfection, and that's That's the moed of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a moed from both ends. First of all, through the Oro Shel Mashiach that came before the world was created, and secondly, after the world was created, as rotten, as evil as man is in this world, but there will be a process called Kilkel and then Binyan. The Kilkel will be the destruction of the Churban HaBayis on Kiru Olai Moed, meaning on the 9th of Av, and yet there'll be paradoxically a Kiru Olai Moed to take that Kilkul as a precursor to project us to the most creative and positive experience, which is called Moed. So it really is true that Tisha B'Av is a Moed, because Tisha B'Av really has within it the entire Oro Shel Mashiach, which, although it was taken away, it was dimmed as a result of our sins, and the Mikdash was destroyed. That's a day of Kilkul, but yet paradoxically, it's going to project itself from the day of Kilkul and of Churban to a day of Sason v'Simcha, of Moed, of Oro Shel Mashiach. All this is going to happen on Tisha B'Av, and that's the Kiru Olai Moed. So we have here Kiru Olai Moed as a relevant halachic consideration even today. And that, we said, is, you know, the reason why we omit Tachnun on the day of Tisha B'Av. It's Kiru Olai Moed. But Kiru Olai Moed is also an anticipation of the future, the end of days, when it would really, really become a Moed. Literally. The Pasuk in Zechariah indicates that these days, for example, Tisha B'Av, will be turned, converted into days of Sasa v'Simcha. And therefore we have the Simcha already inherent now in the Simcha that's inherent in this day of Tisha B'Av, which again might have been a Simcha even before it became such a kilkul day, or such a tragic day of Churban, because it was created with the Oro Shel Mashiach before the world was created. In any event, there's no doubt that there's Simcha inherent in the day of Tisha B'Av. It may be Kisui, it might be a concealment, but if you penetrate deep down inside, in essence, you have here a day of Simcha. That's the Kiru Olai Moed. And such a day, which contains within it the potential for Mashiach, the Kiru Olai Moed, then we begin to understand why Tisha B'Av is not counted in the Bein Avitzarim days. Because Tisha B'Av itself is called a Moed. But again, this is a very nice pshat, except for one problem. You know, we have from Shivasa B'Tavos until Tisha B'Av, we actually have 22 days. So what are we saying? That Tisha B'Av is a day of Simcha, and therefore it's not going to be included, Kiru Olai Moed? But that's not really so, because today, no one would deny that Tisha B'Av is a day of fasting, it's a day of Avelus, it's a day of Churban. The Mikdash was destroyed. So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu use the Shaked, the Makel Shaked, as a symbol of the period of time in Bein HaMitzarim until the Tisha B'Av, the destruction day, will come about, when, if you want to compare the days of Bein HaMitzarim to the Tzmicha, the growth of a Shaked, it should certainly, it would logically make sense that Tisha B'Av itself should certainly be included, almost with a Kal V'Chomer, as the 22nd day of Bein HaMitzarim, because Tisha B'Av is such a tragic day. It's a day of not one Churban, but two Churbanos. Why then would we remove Tisha B'Av from the counting of the Bein HaMitzarim because of Kiru Olai Moed, when today, if you look around, you'll see that whatever Pekulach we're carrying on Tisha B'Av, for sure, Tisha B'Av is the epitome of Avelus. And therefore, it would have made more sense to include Tisha B'Av into the counting and make it 22 days instead of 21 days. Okay, so this is the dilemma about whether Tisha B'Av as a Moed should be included as the, should be excluded as the 22nd day, or should it be included as the 22nd day because of the nature of the day as a Yom HaAvelus and a day that commemorates and coincides with the churban of not one bais but two batei mikdashos. Now, the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin at Daf Kuf Dalet gives us a clue as to why the Aleph Beis plays such a role on the days of Avelus, and we're going to see this over and over again. And that is because the Torah is given with 22 letters, the Aleph Beis. And the Jewish nation, unfortunately, was guilty of violating the entire Torah, which means the entire Aleph Beis. And therefore, Laku be Aleph Beis. They're going to be punished with the Aleph Beis. What does that mean? So the one who really approaches this question in depth is the Pre-Tzadik Reb Tzadik HaKohen. And in Parshas Matos, which we just read yesterday, the Pre-Tzadik quotes Rav Ber, who says, a Rebbe Rav Ber, on the Pasuk Kol Rod Feha Yisigua Bein HaMitzarim, and I think I saw this in the Sinas Shalom as well, that Kol Rod Feha, those who are seeking God, Rod Fe Hashem, they are seeking God. And it says, Hisigua Bein HaMitzarim, that if you're a Rodef Acher Hashem during this period of time, then Bein HaMitzarim is a perfect time in which there's Hasogas Hiskalus Elokim, that you could be really perceive a revelation of the secrets of God. And Dafka during the Bein HaMitzarim, says Reb Tzadik HaKohen, that's a great time that lends itself to be masig, to achieve and reach that goal of understanding Hashem, of seeing Hashem, as a result of this Radifa. Now, this sounds a little bit strange, because when we talk about Tisha B'Av, we're talking about Churban HaBayis. Why would we suggest that Kol Rodfei Hashem is Hisigua Bein HaMitzarim? Why during Beit HaMitzarim is it easy, so to speak, to connect to Hashem and find Hashem, reveal Hashem? The answer is because in the famous mashal of a melech, as long as the melech stays within the four cubits of his palace, it's very difficult to get to know him, to get a glimpse of him. However, when he's not home in the palace, when he's out there in the public, then there is a possibility of getting to the king, having an audience perhaps, as short as it is with the king, and that makes life so much easier for everybody. So again, this is the mashal of the king who left his palace. He's out there facing the problems, encountering all of the nation, and at that point it's easy to get a relationship with the king. Go try to penetrate through the walls, you know, the many, many layers in the palace, and get to the king in his private chambers. That's impossible. But when the king, paradoxically, is out of his private Dalet Amos, he's left the palace, and now he's on his way to visit the people and to encounter the people. That's when there's a chance for a close relationship. And Reb Tzadik HaKohen says that this is the inyan of the 22 days of Bein HaMitzarim. Interesting. Not like the sources that we quoted at the beginning of this year, that there are 21 days of Bein HaMitzarim. He's got 22 days of Mitzarim. And that number 22 is excellent for him, because it's Keneged the Chof Beis Osiel Spot Shalat Torah She'ovru Yisrael Aleihem. Because the Jewish people, when they violated the Torah, they violated and desecrated 22 letters. So it's very good now that the violation of the Torah, which is made up of 22 letters, produces the Bein HaMitzarim, which is 22 days. And we define this period of time in Bein HaMitzarim as a time of Hester Panim. And it's logical to assume that on the 22nd day, which is Tisha B'Av, that's the greatest Hester Panim. But yet, paradoxically, Kol Rod Feha Yisigua Bein HaMitzarim, that during this period of time, there is a possibility, an opportunity to get to know God in a very intimate kind of close relationship. And therefore, these 22 days of Beina Mitzarim, at this particular moment in time, we could say in Reb Tzadok HaKohen's frame of reference, Paolo, the 22 letters of the Torah, and not only that, the Kinos of Yirmiyahu HaNavi also have the 22 letters. So Shivasa B'Tammuz now becomes the beginning of a period of time that culminates with the 22nd letter, which is Tisha B'Av. And within that context, starting with Yud Zayin B'Tammuz and ending with Tisha B'Av, there's a possibility of revealing Hashem, and then Kol Rodfei HaYisigua Bein HaMetzorim. And I'll read to you the language of Rav Tzadok HaKohen. He says, V'yud Zayin B'Tammuz hu keneged Os Aleph. We just finished saying that the 22 days of Bein HaMetzorim parallel correspond to the 22 letters of the alphabet, of the Aleph Beis, then Shivasa B'Tammuz corresponds to the Aleph. And why is that? Because on Shivasa B'Tammuz the Luchos were broken, and the Luchos begin with an Aleph. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Tisha B'Av, says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, is connected to the Tav, the last letter of the alphabet. And to prove that, he quotes a pasuk that says, Tam Avonecha Bas Tzion, which means Sheshafach Hamaso Al Eitzim Avodim. So we see the word Tam, the letter Tav, is indicative of the Tisha B'Av day, because that's the day number Tav, which is Tam Avonayich, when the divine wrath was, so to speak, let out on the Eitzim Avonim. To the extent to which we identify Tisha B'Av with Churban and with Tam Avonayach, with Shafach Hamaso, with Hashem's wrath expressing itself in and coming to fruition the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, then it would make a lot more sense that Tisha B'Av should be included in Bein HaMetzorim, as the Reb Tzadok HaKohen said it, Ki Chof Beis Yomim Shem Bein HaMetzorim Heim Keneged Chof Beis Osias HaTorah She'Avru Yisrael Aleihem. And that's why in Kinos we have the 22 letters of the alphabet. So the people of Israel violated all 22 letters of the Torah. And therefore all 22 days should be included in this unit called Bein HaMetzorim. And Tisha B'Av, almost with a kol shekein, it's the most avelus engendering day of them all. You know, this is the real grief and mourning is on Tisha B'Av. That's the ultimate. Everything leads up to Tisha B'Av. Then Tisha B'Av should certainly be a day that's included in the Bein HaMetzorim. And that would jack up the number of Bein HaMetzorim to 22, and we'd be very happy and comfortable with the number 22, because the hint here, the illusion, is that the people of Israel violated all 22 letters of the Torah. Now this identification of the grievous sins of Klal Yisrael with the number 22, meaning that they violated the entire corpus of the Torah, the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis which are used for the Torah, really comes to its fruition in Shivasa B'Tammuz, in the day in which Moshe Rabbeinu destroys the Luchos. And Chazal say about the breaking of the Luchos, Parchu Haksuvim in Aluchos, that the letters that were engraved in the Shtei Luchos Habris, just parchu. Parchu means they flew up to the Shamayim. They flew away, and that's l'chora the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, and they completely removed themselves from the Luchos, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to destroy the Luchos. Because if you ever think about it, how did Moshe Rabbeinu have the chutzpah to destroy something that was created by God? But the answer is that Moshe saw that parchu ha-ksuvim en aluchos, that the letters and the words were already gone from the luchos. And the pasuk says in Dvarim Perek Tes, Va'era v'hine chatosem l'Hashem Elokeichem. And the Medrash comments on that, Rav Moshe shechatu v'shaver es aluchos. So we have again another tragic description, relationship to the 22, the number 22. Not only are we talking about the 22, which represents the Torah, because that's how many osios there are that make up the Torah. Not only does the 22 represent the last of the 22 letters, which is Tisha B'Av, because 22 is connected to Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av is connected to Os Tov, as we sort of speak about it. But on top of it all, getting back to the beginning of this Bein HaMetzar period, with the Shviras HaLuchos, Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the Luchos, and the Medrash identifies the Luchos as Parcha HaKsuvim and HaLuchos. You can't describe them as Luchos. They're really Luchos SheParchu HaKsuvim Mehem. And this is an irreversible change. We can't get the Ksuvim, meaning the letters of the Luchos, back. They're lost. And presumably that's 22 letters that were lost on Shivasa B'Tamuz with the breaking of the Luchos. So 22 here, it seems definitely to be the appropriate number for the tragic and catastrophic days of Bein HaMetzarim. Now, this perhaps could explain why Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed the Luchos. There's a lot of discussion about this. For example, if you take a look in the Yalkut Shimoni, in the Parsha of Chet HaEgel in Kisisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu destroys the Luchos, so the Yalkut says, L'chol ha'yada chazaka, nistakel Moshe b'luchos, v'ra ha'ksav shebehen sheporeach, v'kovdu, Al Yudei Al Yad Moshe V'Naflu Miyadu V'Nishtabru. A whole other interpretation of Moshe destroying the Luchos. This is not really a decision that Moshe makes, to deliberate decision to destroy the Luchos, but rather Moshe saw that the Ksav on the Luchos had already departed, Parach, and now what happens is Moshe Rabbeinu is holding on to solid stone tablets, the Kovdu, and they were too heavy for Moshe to carry, and therefore the Luchos fell from his hands. Acherim Omru, and again in the Alkut Shimoni, Lo, Shiber Ad Shenemar Lo, Mipi Agvura Asher Shibarta. Omalo, Yofe Bekach Asher Shibarta. So we see that according to the Acherim here in the Alkut Shimoni, Moshe did destroy the Luchos. And the reason he did so is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Gvura told him to destroy the Luchos. And that's the Yashikach that he gets from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're really at a very sensitive crossroads. If we summarize and overview what we've said so far, we have the Bein HaMetzarim period, which is indicated by, according to Rashi, by the number 21, and certainly by the Marashah's 21, and yet if we want to drop Tisha B'Av, because we realize full well the calculation of Bein HaMetzarim is 22 days, so if we want to drop Tisha B'Av because of its status and its nature as a Moed, Kirulai Moed, then we're going to lose a lot, in the shuffle. First of all, logically, why should Tisha B'Av be considered outside of the pale of the other 21 days of Bein HaMetzarim? On the contrary, it seems to be Mirosh HaChabura. It should be the first of them all. And moreover, the number 22 seems to appear and reappear in its great significance, because it was with the 22 letters that God created the Torah. And the Jewish people were guilty of violating the Torah of 22 letters. That's what it says in the Brit Tzadik. And Eicha is organized in such a way that there be a constant, an indication of constant rebellion against Hashem. And that is why Kinos, which is called Megillas Kinos, which is Eicha, is written with the acrostic of Aleph Ad Tov. And the Brit Tzadik, as you remember, said that the Aleph corresponds to Yud Zayin B'Tamuz and the Tov corresponds to Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av surely has to be integrated into the membership club of the number of days between Shavuos B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av. So again, let's again reiterate that according to the Yalkut Shimoni in the aftermath, immediately following the Chet HaEgel on Yudzamut Tammuz, the Osios Parchos, the Osios of the Luchos, just floated away, they ran away. And therefore, that day, which is Yudzayim B'Tammuz, is the beginning of the end. It's the beginning of a process that will culminate with Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the Mikdash. And on that very day of Shavuos B'Tammuz, Parchu Kol Osios Shehayu B'Luchos Rishonos. So this is the day when we want to begin Yom Bein HaMitzarim, which corresponds to the letters that Parchu Min HaLuchos, that the 22 letters of the Torah that floated up to Shemaim from the Luchos, leaving Moshe with solid stone, which he dropped. And therefore it makes sense that just like Yudzayim B'Tammuz is the kickoff of this three-week period, because it represents the Osios Parchos and the Shviras HaLuchos, so too it makes sense on the other end, the bookend, that Tisha B'Av should be included, because that's the day in which we complete the 22 days, as we said over and over again, the 22 represent the 22 day letters that were Parchos Be'avir, that left and departed the holy Luchos, leaving the Luchos in a state in which they're really valueless because of the 22 letters that were taken away. And Moshe's holding on to just two stone tablets with nothing written on them. Now, perhaps we can, and this is going to be the turning point in today's discussion, we can throw in an agadita here into the picture, to the cholent, that's going to really change a lot. And this is a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Nun Dalet Amud Beis, going on to Nun Dalet Nun Hei Amud Aleph. And the Gemara records a dialogue regarding the fact that in Dibros Rishonos, those were the Aseres HaDibros that were broken by Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Nemar Bahen Tov, that the Tov is left out. And the Gemara goes through all discussion, did he know it, he didn't know it, back and forth. We're not going to have time to go through that now. But the Gemara finally explains that there's a concept here called Hoil V'Sofran L'Hishtaber, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew in advance that this first set of Luchos would be destroyed, and therefore he left out the Tov, because if Moshe Rabbeinu would have destroyed the Luchos that had Tov in it, or at least the letter Tess in it, then that would have meant Chas V'Shalom, that Pascha Tova MiYisrael, that Tova, goodness for Israel, is completely terminated, completely undermined, and it won't exist anymore. That, says the Agadita in Masechta Bava Kamma, would be indicative of the fact that, again, had this test representing Tova been included in the first set of Luchos, then the destruction of the first set of Luchos would eradicate the possibility of any Tova B'Yisrael. That's called Chashon Pascha Tova B'Yisrael. Okay, now the plot grows a little bit thicker, because what we're seeing here is that the concept of Shviras HaLuchos is a very, very significant concept, and the danger lurking or inherent in the Shviras HaLuchos is the Pascha Tova Mi'Yisrael, you know, the end, the termination of not just Aseres HaDibros, but of any goodness that would or could have been bestowed on Klal Yisrael. But how did Hashem circumvent that situation? He did a miracle, and he made sure that in the first set of Luchos, which were to be destroyed, there would be no mention, no inference to Tov, and that word is going to be left for the second set of Luchos, which, by the way, if you compare Yisro to Veschana, the two sets of Luchos, you'll see that clearly, that there's a pasuk in Vaschana which was left out of Yisro, and that is Kaved es Avicha, etc., Leman Yitavloch, in Dvarim Perek Dalet, and that doesn't that doesn't appear at all. I'm sorry, Dvarim Perkei, and that doesn't appear at all in Yisro, in Shmos, Perek Chaf, where it says Kabir Savicha Vesimecha Laman Yarichon Yomecha. That appears in both, but Laman Yitavloch was left out of Parshas Yisro of Luchos Harishonos, and the reason is because Hashem knew in advance that Moshe would destroy this first set of Luchos, and if Tova would have been written there, Laman Yitavloch, then gone. It would have been Chas V'Shalom the end of Tova Yisrael. Now we mentioned earlier the Bnei Yisoschar, when he speaks about the Bein HaMetzarim from Yudzayin Bi'av until Tisha B'Av, he says that, of course, Yudzayin B'Tam is the day that marks the breaking of the Luchos. And he says, well, what is the significance of the fact that it happened on the 17th of Tammuz? And he says the number 17 always represents Tov, right? Because Tov, which is Tes, Vav, Vez, 9 plus 6 plus 2 is 9, plus 8 is 17. So the 17 of Shavuos B'Tammuz represents Tov. And he says this all, based on the Arizal, all goes back to the, I'm sorry, not the Arizal, back to the Gemara in Bava Kamma, that there's no Tov in the Dibros Rishonos, because since Hashem knew that the first set of Dibros would be destroyed, he took out the Tov to protect Klal Yisrael. So basically, Yudzayin B'Tammuz is Tov, because it represents that Tov that was not destroyed. So even though, again, Yudzayin B'Tammuz in and of itself represents that terrible day of the destruction of the first Luchos, but the Tov was protected. It was never lost. And the Yudzayin B'Tammuz has within it this element, inherent element of Tov, insofar as that Hashem did this great miracle of leaving out the Tov from the first set of Luchos, so that even though Yudzayin B'Tammuz represents the destruction of the Luchos, but not the Tov. The Tov is still there, and that's why Yudzayin B'Tammuz is 17 is the number of Tov. So everything works here in favor of choosing the 17th day as the day of Shviras HaLuchos, because that 17th day remains Tov. Because 17 equals Tov, Tov equals 17, and that's because the Tov was left out of the first set of Luchos, which were destroyed on Yudzayin B'Tammuz, so that the Tov would still exist and it would never be destroyed. Now the Chasam Sofer takes this a little bit further, because he has a pasuk in Tehillim Ayin Gimel. It says there, David HaMelech says, Mizmor LeYosef, Ach Tov LeYisrael, Elokim LeVarei Levav. What does this mean, Ach Tov LeYisrael? He says, Ratzalomer, Masha Hoya Rak Chof Aleph Osios, Baser Sadivus Kemispar Ach. That when it says Ach here, it's referring to the number 21, meaning the only 21 letters that were left in the Aseret HaDibros to be destroyed, and that's Tov LeYisrael. Since it's Ach, it's Tov LeYisrael, meaning the Tov is that the Tov was left out of the Aseret HaDibros. That's what's good for Klal Yisrael, because that saved Klal Yisrael, the fact that Tov was left out. So you really have all the letters of the alphabet minus the tes, and that leads us to the number 21. And again, you might ask the question, well, if only 21 letters flew away from the Aseret HaDibros, and the os tes is not mentioned in the Aseret HaDibros, he was saying that the tragedy and the Avera element that lies inherent in these days of Bein HaMetzarim is the number 22 days, including Tisha B'Av, starting from Shavuos B'Tammuz. And that's because the Aleph Atof, the full 22 letters of the alphabet, which on Shavuos B'Tammuz, the beginning of the three-week period, was destroyed. And the Osios Parakos would mean that 22 Osios. And we said that the Yudzayin B'Tammuz represents the letter Aleph. Correct? Because the Aseret HaDibros begin with the Aleph of Anochi, so that's the Shviras HaLuchos of Yudzayin, and they terminate with the Tav, which is Keneged Tisha B'Av, based on the Pasuk Tam Avonayach. And if that be the case, then there are 22 letters that were destroyed, that were parochos. But now, in the light of the Gemara in Bava Kamma, that the test was left out of the, where Hashem deliberately left out the tests from the Aseres HaDibros, meaning the first set of Luchos, in order to protect the tests, then if you want to calculate the number of days that were the number of letters, excuse me, that were parochos, you'll only get up to 21. So perhaps we can say that, you know, there's something very special going on over here. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu destroys the Luchos, and everybody and their uncle asks, how did Moshe Rabbeinu have the chutzpah, so to speak, to destroy the Luchos, which are Maisa Elokim, which are created by God? And the answer might be that Moshe Rabbeinu was of the aware of the fact, because he received the Aseres HaDibros, that the letter Tess was left out of the Aseres HaDibros. Maybe that gave him a clue, a hint, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had deliberately left out the Tess from the Aseres HaDibros, meaning the Luchos HaRishonos, because Hashem knew that Tess representing Tova was going to be destroyed, and didn't want to destroy Tova from Yisrael. So if Moshe Rabbeinu anticipated this whole calculation and had the proper, deeper understanding of why the letter Tess was omitted from the first set of Luchos, then he knew that the Luchos were meant to be broken. And that's why Hashem left out the Tess, so that the Tova wouldn't be broken. And it's very interesting that if you take a look in the Shmos Rabbah there in Kitisa, he tells you about the terrible repercussions of Chet HaEgel that had the people of Israel, the Medrash says, waited for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down to the mountain. Then no Goyim and no Malach HaMavos would ever be sholeit by him. And that's amazing. Amichtov Michtav Elokim Hu Charus Aluchos Ma Hu Charus Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemi Rabbi Yehuda Omer Cheres Men HaGolios Rabbi Nechemi Omer Cheres Mi Malach HaMavos, which means that had the Luchos not been broken, we would have had a double Cheres. We would have been free from Golios, meaning from the nations of the world that send us into exile. We would have been free and protected from the Malach HaMavos. And that's pretty amazing. Now what we find is that during the period of 9 months, again, if we're thinking about the number, the letter tests, the 9 months of pregnancy, the fetus's body, the famous Joshua of Simloy, Nida Daf Lamed Amud Beis, in which he describes in great detail the fetus in its mother's womb. And amongst the descriptions there, in that Gemara in Nida, the Gemara says that Ein Lecha Yomim Shadam Shari B'Tova Yosem Yosem Ayodim, the greatest Tova that could ever exist for a human being is the 9 months of pregnancy, because those are the months in which he's studying Torah and he's not lacking in any way, shape or form. He's Ochel Masha Imo Ochel Shosem Masha Imo Shosel Senimotzi Rei. He's living in this perfect ideal world. It's a blissful kind of existence for those nine months, and all he has is a Malach who's teaching him Torah. That's the greatness of the Osam Yomim, which are the Yerachim, the nine Yerachim of pregnancy. And the Maral is famous for saying that when the baby is born, it starts crying because now it's lacking something. But as long as it's in its mother's womb and it was receiving everything, then those days of Ibur, of pregnancy, called 9 months, are days in which the person, it's a fetus, but nevertheless is Dovek Bites Shehu Atov. In other words, it's not coincidental that there are 9 months of pregnancy, the best time period in a person's life, and that number nine again represents the letter Tess. Tess represents Tov. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma that if a person has a dream and he sees a Tess in his dream, it's a good Siman Tov, it's Tov Lo. And in that sense, the perfect situation of Tess Chadashim, of Tova, with the 9 months of pregnancy, terminates with birth. And now we have already Chisar, and now we're in a Bechi situation where the baby's crying. It no longer is living in that ideal, blissful, perfect world of Torah. Now, perhaps we could say the following, that during the 9 months of pregnancy, the Malach is sent to teach Kol HaTorah Kula, the entire Torah, to the baby. And the imperfection with birth is that that study of Torah is now lost. But during the period of studying of Torah, Torah reaches its maximum in the fetal period of 9 months. And the this is not a coincidence. It's nine, as we said before. The nine represents the letter Tes, which means Tova. And if we now assume that the Tova means to be on the recipient end of having the entire Torah revealed to you, then let's just think about the Luchos HaBris and the Shviras HaLuchos. Maybe perhaps this letter Tes, which was left out of the Luchos Rishonos, which is Tov, represents that most perfect ideal Tov that we spoke about in terms of the 9 months of pregnancy, meaning the perfect understanding of Kol HaTorah Kula, because that's what the Malach does, Malamdin also Kol HaTorah Kula during those 9 months. And in that sense, had, you know, if there wouldn't have been Shviras HaLuchos, wow, what great things would have happened for Klal Yisrael, as we spoke about before. There would have been an absolute defeat of all the enemies of Klal Yisrael, of the greatest enemy, which is the Malach HaMavis. But now, the people unfortunately worship the eagle. Moshe Rabbeinu destroys the Luchos. And what does he destroy? He doesn't destroy the letter Tes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized it that in the Luchos Rishonis there would not be any Tes. And now the Tes, which we saw in terms of the Arche Leda, represents Kol HaTorah Kula, the Gilui, the revelation by the Malach of Kol HaTorah Kula. Then one could say, by the same token, that Tes that was left out of the first set of Luchos, that it wasn't affected, it wasn't destroyed, that represents the ability of a Jew to know Kol HaTorah Kula. And I'll read to you a line here in the name of the Shvilei Pinchas. He says that Bizchuta, as a result of the fact that the Tes was not destroyed in the first set of Luchos, Megalin es kol chelkei HaTorah shegolu begolios kishaparchu. He says the following, that Shviras HaLuchos represents Golos, and the 21 letters that were in the first set of Luchos that were now destroyed represent the bulk of Torah that's going to be sent now into Golos, and we have to go into the exile and we have to discover that Torah, we have to find that Torah. Now, there's one letter missing here that's not getting smashed, that's not Poreach Ba'avir. And what is that letter? That's the letter Tes, which represents, as we saw before, the concept of Malamdin also called Tarkula. And basically, there is a potential to know Kol HaTorah Kula that inheres in the letter Tes that was never destroyed. So that even though 21 letters were dispersed, and that represents the dispersion of the Torah as the Jews are dispersed through all the nations of the world, but yet the Tes is not included in the Parchos. And perhaps therefore we could suggest that when Moshe Rabbeinu is dictated the Luchos, the first set of Luchos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately omits a Tes, which will appear in the second set of Luchos, so the Chas V'Shalom, there shouldn't be Pascha Tova Miyisrael. Perhaps that word Tova is a code word that represents Kol Chelkei HaTorah, as we saw before, the Tova of those days of pregnancy, which are the are days of Tova. As we saw the Gemara in Nida that says, Ein lecha yomim shalom shari b'tova, yosim yosim yomim. So Tova is those 9 months in which the child, the fetus, is learning Kol HaTorah Kula. And now, the Tes, which also represents Kol HaTorah Kula, which was not destroyed in the Shviras HaLuchos, that represents the possibility, the potential, of getting back all the Torah that was lost. Meaning, the Torah was spread out through the diaspora. And that's a result of Shviras HaLuchos. And we still have the ability to reveal all that Torah that was sent into Golos. It's not lost. I mean, it's lost, but it's not gone. It exists. It's concealed, hidden in the Golos. And we have to somehow find it or return it, replace it. And we can do this because we have the tests that was of the original Aseres Adiros that was never destroyed. Again, if the tests had been destroyed together with the rest of the alphabet, then the Shviras HaLuchos with the entire alphabet would have Chas V'Shalom indicated Poska Tov Mi'Yisrael. It would never be possible to be Mevar, to clarify and discover and embellish and clarify and illuminate the Torah, all those parts of the Torah that were sent into Golos. But now that the test was omitted from the Shviras HaLuchos, and that test represents the key to unlock the mystery, to replace all that Torah that was lost in Golos, that was Nispazer Begolio. So now with that test, the Jewish nation is equipped with the potential of rediscovering all the Torah that was lost as a result of the Shviras HaLuchos and the Golos. And now we begin to understand why there are 21 days of Bein HaMetzarim. Because according to what we saw in Reb Tzadok HaKohen, there are 22 days of the Yemei Bein HaMetzarim Keneged that correspond to the 22 letters of the Torah. And the 17th of Tammuz again corresponds to the Aleph, and the Tisha B'Av corresponds to the 22nd letter of the Torah, the Tav, so that Bein HaMetzarim is made up of 22 letters. However, since we can interpret the Torah in so many different ways, Shivim upon the Torah, we could say that the Chaf Aleph Yemei Bein HaMetzarim from Yitzayim B'Tammuz Ad Tesvav is Ad V'Lod B'Chlal. Let's not, when we calculate from Yitzayim B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av, we don't have to count both Yitzayim B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av and come up with the number 22, but rather we can say Ad V'Lod B'Chlal and arrive at the 21, which is parallel, corresponds to the 21 Osius in the Torah of the Aleph Beis that were destroyed at the time, or in the aftermath of the Chet Egel, when Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed the Luchos, or if you will, according to that day in the Medrash, when the Osios were Parchos. But Tisha B'Av itself, that corresponds perhaps to the letter Tes, again, not like Reb Tzadok HaKohen who says it corresponds to Tav, but rather it corresponds to the letter Tes, which was not in any way ill-treated or destroyed by the Shviras HaLuchos, because there was no test in the first set of Luchos. And that means that really there are 21 days in the Bein HaMetzarim period, because we cannot count Tisha B'Av if Tisha B'Av is connected the test, and it was never Nifgam. Let me just read to you the language that he says that mi yud zayin b'tamuz ad tes ba'av v'lo ad b'chlal hem kineged chaf aleph osios ha'aleph beis shenifku b'cheit ha'egel kishaparchu ha'parchu ha'osios min aluchos. But Tisha B'Av itself is kineged the os tes, and it was never nifgama, and that letter never flew out. It was always pristine and whole and maintained its original status. And again, we avoided, therefore, Pascha Tova Yisrael. And if Tova means the ability of the Jew, the potential of the Jewish nation to conquer and understand and study and internalize the entire Torah, Kol Chelka Torah, that still exists. So although the Churban HaBayis takes place on Tisha B'Av, but nevertheless, the letter Tes represents our hope and our optimism, because the Tes is that letter that represents Kol HaTorah Kula that was never destroyed in the Shviras HaLuchos. And the Ohev Yisrael points out that the Tes in Ksav Ashuris, if you write it carefully as a scribe, you'll see that the two heads of the Tes on the right and the left side, they bend in inside, and that's a remez, an allusion, ki Tuvia Gunis Begave. Tuvia meaning Tov is Gunis Begave. That even though on the one hand it's Tisha B'Av, it's Tes, and it's the day of Churbanos, but nevertheless the Tes itself has a message of optimism, because the two heads are Kofuf L'Tocho, And that's a representative symbolically of Tuvia Gun is the Gaveh. So that there's an amazing amount of Torah that's hidden in the Tisha B'Av. And in the Hakdama of the Tuv Tam V'Das of Rav Shlomo Kluger, he writes that what's going to bring about the Geula, it's the Sfarim, the Sifrei Torah, the Chidushei Torah, they're going to be published in mass numbers. That's going to bring about indicate the ultimate Geula, maybe bring about the Geula. He says that's why Shlomo HaMelech warns the people of Israel in Koheles, mamash at the end, before the Sof Tavar Kol Nishmai, says, Asos Sfarim Harveh, because if not, ain Kates. Right now we don't have the Kates, the Geula, because we have to create the Asos Sfarim, you know, the many, many Sfarim that have to be published, just like Piriyah Verivya means there are many souls that have to be born into this world, and until that magic number is achieved, the Geula will not happen. So too, there's a number of Sfarim that have to be written. And only when that myriad number of Sfarim is written, when the catalog is full, then we'll have the Geula. He even goes as far as to say that Ben Azai was part of Piriyah Verivya because Ben Azai was involved in Nafshi Chashk B'Torah, dedicating himself to Torah study. And Torah studies and the creation of Torah is going to bring about the Geula. So that even though he would have to forfeit the Piriyah Verivya, which means his contribution to bring about the Geula through Hamaras Toldos, but nevertheless he has a different, what shall we say, an alternative method of bringing about the Geula through his study of Torah, because as Shlomo Mel tells us, Asos Sfarim, if we make many Sfarim, then we can come to the gates. And to finish this all up, we'll say the following, that when Chazal tell us that Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av, it means that since the Geula depends upon Gilui Kol Chidushei Torah, we need the expansion of Torah, as Shlomo Melch says, Asos Sfarim Harba, we saw in Rav Shlomo Kluger, that we haven't yet been Zocha to the Geula because we don't have all those Sfarim out there that have to be written, all those Chidushim that have to be published. Is Adayin there for those Achinu L'Ketz HaGeula? And if that be the case, we understand that Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av because Tisha B'Av represents the letter Tes, the ninth letter of the alphabet, which is representative of Tov, which, as we said, Tov is the key, is the code to Kol Chelkei HaTorah, and we'll be able to reveal Kol Chelkei HaTorah. All this is inherent in the Tes of Tisha B'Av, and therefore we'll be Zochet to Mashiach on Tisha B'Av, because we'll have in our hands the potential, and maybe we'll have even come very close to realizing that potential of kibbutz kol chelkei haTorah, of going into the Golios where the Torah was spread out and concealed, dispersed in the diaspora because of the Shviras HaLuchos, and find with the letter Tes and replace all those chelkei haTorah. That is the Asos Farim, that is the prolification of creating Torah that's going to represent the Geula, bring about the Geula. And if a Mashiach is born on that letter Tes, on that ninth day of the Omer, which represents Tova, and we begin to understand now why Yirmiyahu HaNavi compares the period of Bein HaMetzarim to the Makel Shaked, which we said is the 21 days of the Pricha, of the development of the almond. And even though Lamaisi will count 22 days, it doesn't matter, because it's true that the Chet HaEgel took place on Yudzayin B'Tamuz, and on that very day the Luchos were destroyed, and the letters of the Luchos Parchu, they went flying away from the Luchos. But nevertheless, we've already established that the Parchu was only Chaf Aleph Osios, because the letter Tes was left out of the Luchos Rishonis, therefore wasn't Nifgamon, it wasn't sent into Golus, it wasn't Parchos from the Luchos, because it wasn't written in the Luchos. So we retained for ourselves the Tova, and therefore that ninth day, which represents the letter Tes, the Tova, is not included in the calculation of Bein HaMetzarim. Therefore, it's absolutely correct, as Rashi says in Yirmiyah, that Shaked that the 21 days of Prichas HaShochet are parallel to the 21 days of Bein HaMetzarim. And we begin to understand and appreciate in a new light why Tisha B'Av is called a Moed, because if Tisha B'Av corresponds to the letter Tes, which is a remez to the ability of Klal Yisrael to achieve Kol HaTorah Kula and bring back the Torah that's been spread into the Golios. And not only that, Tes is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make the decision and choose between the people of Israel, Chas V'Shalom, or the bias, the building of Eitzim V'Avonim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to let His wrath out on the Eitzim V'Avonim, is therefore B'Zchus Churban Beis HaMikdash, we have the Hatzol of Klal Yisrael from destruction, and we have the Gzeira of Golus, we have to go into Golus, and in Golus we have to be Mavar all the Chelkei Torah that were lost in Golus, and we have to use the Os Tes, which was never Nifkema B'Shviras HaLuchos, and use that as our Kli, as our utensil, our ability, our capacity to bring back the Torah, reveal the Torah that was lost. And what all this means is that when we think of these days that we're in now, the Bein HaMetzarim period, and we began the kickoff with Shavasa B'Tamuz, the day in which Nishbar HaLuchos, and Shavasa is Yud Zayin, which represents Tov, because the Shavasa HaLuchos did not include the letter Tes that was not included in the first set of Luchos. It means that there are only 21 days of Bein HaMetzarim between Shavasa B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av, and that corresponds to 21 letters that were Nifkemu, that were Parchos B'Avir, and now the responsibility that we have on our shoulders to be attacking those Osios Pegumos. And Tisha B'Av itself, which is correspond to letter Tes Shalom Nifkema, means that now we have the ability to be Mevarer all the Chelkei HaTorah, which will be Zochem Eretz Hashem, to the real, true, genuine Tov at the time of Bias Goel Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehera V'Yameinu Amen.